I want to talk beyond just your natural man. I want to talk to your spirit. If you aren't used to taking notes, get used to it today. I want you to take notes. Why? Because there is a breakthrough spirit on the house today. And today we aren't just here to do church this morning. We're here to discover what God wants to say to us. And I've prepared a message today that I think is going to set you free. Now, the reason that I'm, I won't say passionate, I'm always passionate, but the reason I'm excited is, you know, mostly because the Maoris won against Moana Pacifica yesterday. But mostly the reason is because we're in the business of partnering with God to see lives broken and set free. If you're in this to catch up with bros and be with your friends and, you know, do your religious duty, you're in the wrong game. Because this church doesn't exist to accommodate a social circle. This church exists in order to find God, connect you with him, and see what God can do in that scenario, in that situation. So take notes, because I'm going to just pretty much just try to read everything that I want to throw out here, so I won't be delivering it like I'm doing right now. It may be just didactic, just reedy, but God's going to move. Yeah? Cool? All right, here we go. Today's message is simply titled, Sons Break Strongholds. Sons Break Strongholds. What does that mean? Well, let's first determine a couple of things in a gender dysphoria society. That when the Bible talks about sons, he is not talking about a gender. The Bible, when it talks about sons, is that our Father is of heavenly stature. So when the Bible talks about us, he's talking about all those who believe in the Father who is of the heavenly stature becomes a son in that same heavenly stature. So sons, us, believers, who call themselves, for us in this world who are believers, we are now sons of a heavenly Father. It doesn't mean that we're not daughters either. It does mean that the Bible refers to us as sons of God. So get over yourself. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Or you're a whatever you decide you are of God. But either way, the Bible calls you a son of God. And sons break strongholds. Next question. What's a stronghold? Well, that's a good question. But before we go to that one, let me talk about this. Sons are builders of the Father's house. Sons of God, daughters of God, we are builders of the Father's house. We're not builders of our own house. Galatians 5:13 says, you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Not only do you have this liberty, but you should not take this liberty for the opportunity to entertain your flesh. In other words, just because you're free, don't go out and rage it up and drink it up and do what you want and then say, yeah, but it's because I'm free in God that I can do that. That's not what liberty exists for. Liberty exists, as the Bible says, Galatians 5:13, do not use this liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Liberty exists, freedom exists to build the house of God, through loving and serving one another. So let's bring it right down. Your marriage, your family, your relationships are the most important things in your world right now that must be built. Not your business, not your career. How much money do we spend growing the things that mean in the kingdom? Now, I'm just going to sort of jump on that for a moment. You look beautiful, ladies. Don't worry about what the rest of the world tells you beauty is. You're enough as you are. Stop spending so much time, effort, and energy trying to become something you're not. You're enough as you are. Relationships are like a garden. Your marriage, your family, relationships. It's important. You've got to build them. So relationships are like a garden, the Bible says. And that garden has to be cultivated, that garden has to be protected. Because, like, if you are old enough to know what gardens are and vegetables just didn't magically appear on shelves and stores, you'll know, like I know, that if you own a garden, it has to be, as Pastor Ian reminded us last week, has to be weeded, has to be protected. You put stuff over it so that the birds of the air don't come, so that the bugs don't arrive. You protect it. Relationships are like gardens. They have to be protected. Some of us wonder why our relationships are a mess. It's because you're not doing anything to weed it. You're not doing anything to look after it. You just expect somehow 10 years ago you threw a plum seed in and you're going to arrive and there's going to be a plum tree and you're going to eat of its fruit. Okay, just stick with the script, Rocky. All right. Unresolved issues can grow and sabotage both life, your life and your ministry. Unresolved issues can grow and sabotage both your life and your ministry. Many of us want a great life. Many of us want a great ministry. But if you don't touch some of these unresolved issues that are growing in the garden of your life, it will sabotage you. Most people are unaware of hidden spiritual roots that sabotage their relationship. And because it sabotages their relationship, also sabotages the ability to have intimacy with people, not only in their home, but also outside of their home. Sons break through spiritual strongholds and overcome unseen spiritual resistance. In other words, you are being fought against to reach what God has for you. So in other words, lovingly, the mess you're experiencing is God ordained so that you might weed that garden, get a breakthrough, and find what it is that God has for you, because sons break strongholds. I won't go too deep into it. Pastor Ian did enough of that last week, but I want you to know, just in summary, a tree is known by its fruit. The Bible says that. We're still in the garden for a moment. But a tree is known by its fruit. Luke 6:43 says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." Verse 44, "For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from prickle bushes." Ha ha, he said bush. 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings evil. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks." Stay with me for a moment. A man should be known by his fruits. We all know that drama queen, right? We all know that guy who just hangs around a little bit too long around, you know, just drinks a little bit too much. We all know that lady who just the moment it starts to irritate her, she's the first out the door, right? We all know. But of course we all look at that because we live in a society where it's almost okay. It's almost a right that you're allowed to be offended. You're allowed to be upset. Just in that moment, about half the room got offended just because I said it. It's almost like in this world you're allowed to be. But let's stop for a moment. It is a fruit indicating something that's growing in your world. Can we just stop for a moment and just address it? Thanks, I will. We all know the control freak, right? Who knows? Well, don't put your hands up. But we all know the control freak. Have you ever noticed that when there's a spirit of control, like just God dropped this revelation in me today on the way through. Have you ever noticed if you recognize a spirit of control on someone, in other words, they're a control freak, they only want to control you, never them. Your behavior is always in need of correction. Their behavior is absolutely justified. A tree is known by its fruit. Insights. Here's a couple of insights for you. Naturally, we recognize a tree by the kind of fruit that it brings forth. In the same way, spiritual roots produce spiritual fruit, good and bad. Unless the root is removed, it will continue to sprout and produce the fruit that the root is producing. Again, Pastor Ian touched on this, so I won't go too deep into it, but here's something that he didn't say, which I want to throw at you today, because we're in a self-help generation world. Learning a new skill, making a New Year's resolution, and just trying harder will not deal to the fruit of the root that is in us. Because it's spiritual by nature. It is not natural by nature. It has reason. It has purpose. There's a reason it's there. And we're going to jump into that, hopefully, today. I'm going to try to, okay? Stay the course, Rock. Stay the course. Here's a thought for you, just something that dropped in my spirit this morning. We all know it. If you own a dog, you'll definitely know what this means. Proverbs 26, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so does a fool return to his foolish ways. I've owned a few dogs in my life. I've seen them do some stuff. Unexplainable. I know some people in my world. I've helped them. I've seen them make some messes and then somehow return to it. It is a spiritual root that needs to be broken spiritually. Sons of God, break strongholds. I'm not sure where I am. I'm just saying words now. So you just, like I say, just grab stuff. Spiritual roots must be identified and removed, and love must be cultivated and increased. Spiritual roots must be identified and removed. Love must be cultivated and increased. Too often we recognize change that needs to take place somehow in the world of you can fix yourself if it's up to me. Type of society, you cannot change anything spiritual in your world. You need God. You need His love. Praise God that you are an incredibly determined individual, but you will not change those things in your life. You may cover them. You may quiet them, but you will not change them. You need God and you need His love. And you need to cultivate His love in your life in order to break some of these. And when I say you, I mean us, right? I'm not you. Like if you know me, you kind of go, look in the mirror. Gee, I know you, right? So we're talking about everybody in the room. Strongholds must be demolished. 2 Corinthians 10:14, for the weapons of our warfare are not of this world, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Just for a moment. How many of us do the very thing that we know we should not do and the thing that God says don't do, but we do it anyway. And we call it, I'm an individual, I'm allowed. You know, I am woman, hear me roar. Right? I'd say, no. That is a thing, a spirit that is trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is higher. Sorry, by the way, if you don't know that reference, it's a song from the 80s. I am woman, or whatever it is. It's a woman's lib thing. And again, nothing wrong with all of that. Woman, you are strong, and you're still sons. All of that. But don't use that as an excuse. You're not strong enough. Where are we? We are in a warfare against unseen wicked beings. We are in a warfare against unseen wicked spirit beings of a spiritual world. We are not fighting people. We are not fighting natural things. Easy, right? Don't get me started. I have 5 sisters. I have 3 daughters. I have a beautiful wife. I know what it looks like when a woman gets offended. But we're not in a battle against natural forces. We're in a battle against spiritual forces, things unseen. It's wrong for us to start just, you know, it's you, it's always you. Yep, part of that's true. But yeah. Only because I've been, you know. Thanks, Rowan. I feel a hang of a lot better. Conflicts with people are often the fruit of the activity that's going on within you. Conflict with people is often the fruit of unseen stuff that's going on within you. Jesus equipped us with spiritual weapons and gave us authority to overcome wicked spirits. Like I said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they are mighty. They are. In other words, I'll say it this way. The weapons of our warfare are hopeless against natural things. But they are incredibly powerful against spiritual forces. For the battle we fight is not against our flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, blah, blah, that happen in us. All right, man, I'm only on page one. How am I going to get through this? I'm going to just skip. Is that cool? Here's an example of a few strongholds. Many personal strongholds are patterns that have been in your family line for generations. I'm just going to leave that one right there. And I know that. My wife reminds me, it's just like my dad. And I'm not saying that she's wrong. But I've got to learn to get beyond the offense that I might be like my dad. And actually start to go, maybe there's a spiritual force at work in my life repeating what was on my dad and me. Each generation has struggled with hidden spirits. No one has been able to overcome them. You are the generation to overcome these strongholds. You are. It's not the last generation. It won't be the generation after. It is your generation. It is us now. Sometimes strongholds are secrets. There's a covering. There's a hiding away. There's an avoiding for possible rejection and shaming. Sometimes they're really, really obvious. In other words, you know, they don't like to attract criticism or judgment or rejection or strife or conflict. But all strongholds are the source of suffering and shame in humanity. Conflicts and strife in a relationship reveal the lack of mature love. I want to say that again. Conflicts and strife in relationships reveal the lack of mature love and the presence of a hidden stronghold. Now, I know this is speaking to somebody because it speaks to me. But again, our battle is not against flesh and blood. I know I'm the easy guy with the bullseye on my T-shirt right now because I'm the one with the microphone. But trust me, your battle's not with me. Your battle's with a spiritual force at work that perhaps has been there for a long time. It's time to knock it out. Amen? Here's a few, you know, close to homes about what strongholds sometimes often look like. We're going to just start at the top, bitterness and unforgiveness. I don't want to dig too deep into this because I know it's a touchy one. But let me just say this, bitterness is a root that defiles all relationships and produces a destructive behavioral pattern. In other words, if you're bitter, you're going to do things that aren't helping. But for some reason, you just keep going round and 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 round, but it's never your fault, it's someone else. Unsolved childhood issues, yes, guilty. They're also major sources of anger and bitterness. Frequently, this is directed to a parent. In other words, I hated my father. I'm openly have said that in the past. I was angry and I was bitter against my father because of something that he did, and I felt completely justified in my anger, in my bitterness, but it overflowed to people that weren't my father, but I had a source to be able to pin it on that so-and-so did such and such to me, so it's okay for me to behave like a XYZ. So am I going too fast? Is this helping anybody? Now, if you don't identify those things, what happens is it just creates an ongoing cycle in your family. In other words, what you fail to conquer will become the issue, but bigger and stronger in your children. I know you've heard all this before. Many of you are sitting in church kind of going, yeah, tell us something we don't know. Well, then Now my question to you is, then why aren't you doing what you need to do in order to get to freedom? Because sons of God break strongholds. Amen? I won't touch the sexual sin and lust. I think that's been overdone in this generation. I will simply say this about addictions, that we are living in a generation of rejection. And these sexual addictions somehow give so many people the opportunity to feel like they belong, even in a spirit of rejection. Lust is a major struggle in this generation, and I completely get it. But here's the problem with the moment it moves into sexual sin and sexual lust. The major struggle becomes intimacy. If there is a spiritual force at work in your life around sexual issues, trust me, it will make its way out in intimacy in your relationships. I'll just leave it there. Is that all right? But I'll tell you what, it is time that that cursed thing was broken over our generation and over our lives. Because, listen, sons of God break strongholds. And rejection is a huge, it's a deep, painful wound. Rejection. I know so many lives, even adults, even people that are outwardly succeeding, like corporates of owners of multi-million dollars, they're struggling with the spirit of rejection. They fight, they do, they achieve, they do all of this stuff, not because they love money. No, it ain't that. It's because they're trying to hide away from the pain that they're rejected. So they create this whole world of people that must accept them, that must respect them, because all they're trying to do is run away from their sense of rejection. And can I just say this as I say this? Because I know, right, I felt, even before I walked, came out this morning, I heard God say to me, just be careful how deep you open this. Not because, because we're all broken individuals. We're all hurting individuals. But God wants to break us free today. God wants to break us free. So I'm sorry if this kind of feels a little bit like I'm kind of, you know, majoring on the negos. I'm not. The purpose of that is not to make anybody feel terrible. The purpose of that is, can I inspire you and encourage you to say that with God there is love, and with love we conquer all things. And when we conquer all things, that it begins within us, and those strongholds that have taken a hold of our world should be broken, because sons of God break strongholds. Let's talk about, okay, so that one, rejection, shame, fear and anxiety. This is a huge one. Loneliness, fear and anxiety are very super, super common strongholds in this generation. I know so many believers. I know so many children. I mean, so many adults that were brought up in some of the most pristine circumstances, where you would think, expect, that they would have so much belief. It's ridiculous. Yet they struggle with fear and anxiety, you know, so unable to just make a next step forward, afraid of what somebody might say, think, or do towards them. That stronghold's got to break, my friend. Because it ain't enough to come to church, sit in the back row, not looking at you in the back row, sit somewhere where you can hide away, do your God thing, walk out the room, be completely unchanged, and think to yourself, somehow, I'm living the life God intended me to live. Come on. Am I just talking to me? Because fear and anxiety, when they arise in your life, they bring some incredibly negative and restricting thoughts and behaviors in your world. Fear leads to controlling, unloving behavior. In relationships, it truly does hinder intimacy. Anxiety is rooted in fear and withholding love. Fear causes major struggles with intimacy and connection to love. And strongholds that are rooted in violations of love. This is a stronghold that I really want to touch on, because we are living in a world where we are so, I'm just going to leave it, in a world where we should know better. There are so many violations of love taking place. We live, sadly, in a society where the likelihood that a child will be abused in New Zealand society is ridiculously high. It's abnormally high. It should not be happening. But the moment a child is abused, and maybe you, like me, were also a victim of some terrible violations of love and trust in your world, you've got to, if you're not careful, that will develop a stronghold if it already hasn't. You just got to catch it. You've got to combat that with love. A stronghold, listen, is nothing more than a withered substitute for love. A stronghold is something that you decide is a safe place for me, but it is nothing more than a withered, broken substitute for love. Where now? Here we go. Let's go for it, yeah? Last few minutes. Freedom comes when we connect to love. Freedom comes when you and I connect to love, when we begin to grow and we abound in that love. And Paul's prayer out of Ephesians 3, some of you will know it well, from verse 16. Beloved, I pray that God, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his spirit in the inner man. Listen to me. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Did you get that? I'll just say it real quickly and paraphrase version. So God has given you, out of who he is, through his spirit, to shift who you are on the inside, so that in your heart, through faith, you will understand the love of God, and that you will find yourself grounded in that love, so that you may know his love for you is deeper, higher, wider, and thicker than you could ever imagine. And you would know his love through Christ, and that kind of love will pass all understanding, will pass all knowledge, and it will, because of the fullness of God, of who God is, will shift and break every area of lack in your world. Ephesians 3, verses 15 to 19, take it in your own time, have a read with and see what God has to say to you. In other words, you got to take hold of everything that you can identify isn't surrendered to God, and you must bring it into the love of God. That's how you break a stronghold. Why? Because sons of God break strongholds. Just quickly, what you experience will become established. Why are there things going on in your life, my life, our lives, that just become so hard to get out? Because we experience it, and then we over-experience it, and whatever we experience becomes grounded. If you don't know the love of God, oh, you know it because you come to church and we sing about it. The preacher gets up and he talks about it. You've read your Bible and you know about it, but the reason that it's not grounded too often in us is because we don't experience it. This is why worship and praise is so important for breaking strongholds. I know physically you don't want to get up and go down, 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 down. I know you're sitting at the back and going, but they don't know the knee trouble that I have. But then again, I know that there's young people who refuse to do it. Why? They don't know the love of God. See, if you want to experience something of God's ability to break you, to make you, and to shift those things in your world, then you got to get to the love of God and sit in it. And stay in it. Stop agreeing with the, you know, just not me. Stop agreeing with that. It's a spirit that's trying to hold you back. It's a spirit that's trying to stop you from getting your breakthrough. Stop thinking to yourself, well, I don't know, I might go to prayer meeting. I mean, the reality is I don't even like half of them. Stop agreeing. It's okay that half of them don't like you either. Get there. Just experience the love of God. Just get in it. Don't let the devil and the wicked spirits just continue to perpetuate this whole stronghold that's holding you back from what he has for you. Why? Because you're a son of God, and sons of God break strongholds. We've got to recognize that there's a pattern taking place in our world and stop putting up with it. I mean, come on. You know it, right? You know it. You feel it. I mean, if you're married, just trust her when she says that you're just acting like a fool. Because you know that you are. Just trust her. Stop living in it. And ladies, do your best to listen to him. Here you can, if you can, if you can. Galatians 5:13. No, I'm going to go to this. Philippians 1:9. This I pray, that you may abound in his love more and more, and in the knowledge of all of his discernment, in other words, all of his wisdom. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! That you may be sincere and without offense. Oh, that is so un-Kiwi. That you may be filled with righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to be for his glory, to the praises of God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet?